Good morning.
Apologize if I have a frog in my throat. Thank you, Tom, for the water. If you'll be in prayer for my grandma, she had a stroke yesterday. And it doesn't seem, I don't have details yet, so we haven't got more from the family. They took her into the emergency room, but she was on her feet and everything, so she just felt dizzy and stuff. But my parents haven't sent more details. Pray for mom and dad. It's going to be hard on them, too. I don't think it's as major because I haven't got as many details yet. So we're asking for updates. I pray for our Nana. So Bianca's grandma fell yesterday and ended up hurting herself. They took her to the ER, and it's something in her shoulder. She can't raise her arm too high, so we're not sure exactly what's going on with that, too. So it was a bad day to be out yesterday. So. But if you'd be in prayer for them, there's a praise. My dad got a job at a Nissan dealer. Yay! So that's a praise. Continue in prayer for them that everything will be good with that. My test, doctors do what they do. So what'd they do? Go have more tests. So, but they didn't find anything, so that's good, I guess. So, but it doesn't look like anything major. They sent me for more tests, which I took one of them yesterday, and I have a couple, well, at least one other I have to do, and then they'll give me results, and they'll probably say, go take more tests, because they enjoy that. I don't know why. But everything looks good right now, so just continue in prayer. Last night we played games, as Jim mentioned. That was fun. I am disappointed. I brought two chess boards, two chess clocks, no chess players. So, I don't know. Next time, I need someone there. We need a challenge. We played Azul, and the only challenge, we sing there. And Dave and Nicole were playing together on the same team. And Dave decided to kind of, I don't know. Dave started making some decisions. Nicole had to deal with the kids at some point. So I noticed he was getting ahead. So he was like 15 points ahead. That's bad, right? So I'm thinking in my head, what do I need to do? Dave needs to lose. Dave should not win. This is wrong. So me, being the gracious person I am, started withholding tiles from Dave and taking things he wanted. So as it continued, Dave realized this, and he was unhappy. And so he started taking my tiles. That was unchristian-like, by the way, Dave. So, anyway, he started withholding my tiles, and the game continued on, and I'm thinking, if I can just inch him out here, get a few more points, I'm going to win. So, we add up the points at the end of the game. How many points does Dave have? 74. How many points do I have? 75. Oh, very nice, right? Except Bianca had 106 points. Killed everybody. I missed it completely. I did not. She did it in the last round. I do not know how she did it. I still think the scorecard got bumped or something. I don't know. It was amazing. Destroyed everybody. It was amazing. That was actually the highest score we've ever had in that game. So good job, Bianca. I thought incorrectly. My strategy failed completely because my thinking was incorrect. I'm sitting there thinking, all I have to do is make sure Dave doesn't get a couple of extra points and I win this game. That's my thinking. What happened? I lost. Because my thinking was wrong. What we're going to talk about today is our thinking. And we're back in Philippians. And this is going to be part one, I think. So I don't think we can get through this today. But we'll do part one of thinking differently. And I want to go through this. So we're in Philippians. Chapter 4. And we'll begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you for the blessings you give us and allowing us to worship you and glorify you. Please be with my grandmother and my whole family. Help her to get through this, and that you will be a comfort to her, and that my dad and all his brothers and sisters will be comforted, and that if it's your will that you'll heal her and just make sure that she's feeling better and able to continue being with her kids and just be able to continue glorifying you with her life. And help our Nana, help that you will make sure that this fall doesn't slow her down, that if you could heal her and just during this time, help the entire family, that she's such a blessing to us, that she'll continue to be a blessing and be able to do what she has done for so many years. And if she's not able to do that, help the rest of the family to encourage her and be with her and strengthen her, and that she will find joy and peace in you. Bless the service this morning. In your name, amen. Oh, try to turn away with a cough. I have not been to China, so you're all safe. Turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, we'll start in verse 4. And we did this at Thanksgiving, so we'll pass through some things fairly quickly, but starting in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. It's been a while since we've been in Philippians. It's 3 weeks now, right? we've learned, I've learned a lot. I feel like I've learned a lot going through the book. At the beginning, we learned that God will begin a work in us, will complete it. He's not giving up on us. As Christians, he will continue to work with us. And I keep on going back to Philippians chapter 1, 9 through 11, and the prayer Paul had for this church, the love abounding. And I want you to get that. Your love abounding still more and more in full knowledge. It's a true knowledge and all discernment. You're making good decisions as you grow in understanding of who Christ is, making the most excellent choice, the best choice in your life. And Paul, we find he's in jail. He's sitting there, and we talked about him being tied to that soldier. He's only a couple feet away all day long from a soldier. He's witnessing constantly. And he says there in that first chapter, to live is Christ. Everything in his life, everything is focused upon Christ, because his life is about serving Christ in everything he does. To live is Christ. And if he dies, it's gain. Why? He's in heaven. He's with Christ for eternity. How can you beat that? You can't. So he goes on in the following chapters, he talks about being humble, and he's looking at this church, and he says, listen, I want you to care more about others than yourself. I want you to be like Christ, be serving him, and see Christ, how he came to earth as a little baby and grew up and sacrificed himself on the cross and gave up everything for us. And he did that in humility. He just humbled himself to that point. And do we have that perspective? And Paul's calling on them and saying, hey, you need to have that same attitude that's in Christ, you see in Christ and his life and what he did. You need to have that same perspective. You need to have that same humility. And he talks about Timothy and Epaphroditus and says, these are my faithful servants. Look at who they are. Look at them as examples. And I love how through the entire book, he keeps on bringing up things he does in his own life. He says, you know, look at this. Look at the example I set in this. And he can say that. He's a faithful servant. He's straining. He goes on and talks about straining to be more like Christ in everything he's doing. And warning them, be careful, because there's false teachers out there. There's people who somehow think that you can earn your salvation. You cannot earn your salvation. It's Christ alone. It's grace. It's faith. You can't work your way to heaven. It's the cross. Christ's death on the cross. That's the only way we can get to heaven. Christ took care of the sin. Sorry. Thank you. He is saying strain to be more like Christ. And there's conflict in this church a little bit. There's a couple of women who seem to have been having, who are faithful workers with Paul, who are having a conflict. In the last few weeks when I was talking, we went through a little bit with conflict resolution, dealing with sin and dealing with preference issues. And how do we deal with that? And so we come to chapter 4. And starting in verse 4, it's interesting. Because we have the phrase, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And we look at the idea of joy, or I do, and I see, okay, Paul, all through this book, is saying rejoice over and over and over again. He says, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And I go, does that really characterize my life? Do I have joy? And I want you to look at yourself. Do we rejoice? What are you rejoicing in? In Christ. Do we rejoice in the salvation you have? Well, you're standing in the eyes of God. Just rejoice in the fact that you're a Christian. Your heart's not discouraged by the trials of life. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's based upon our relationship with God. That joy we have is not based upon the circumstances that come up. It's not based upon what happens. It's not based upon, well, if I have a bad day, I can no longer have joy. The Spirit doesn't leave me because I had a bad day, right? The Spirit of God dwells within me. I'm a Christian, and I have the fruit of the Spirit, or I should, and part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And it's a repeated theme. It's rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And we look at that and go, okay, so I need to rejoice. That's cool, right? Paul's saying, let's rejoice. Okay, everybody? You got it now. Go and rejoice for the next couple years. That's difficult. Let's go to the next one. It says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And the idea of reasonableness is gentleness and patience, forbearance. And this is what people should see when they look at you. They should see someone who's not flying off the handle. It's like the the parent in Walmart who, have you seen the parents in well, anywhere? Parents, it's when they're looking at the kids going crazy, and they lose it too. And they start going crazy and yelling and screaming and running down the aisles after him and knocking things down. That's not gentleness. That's not forbearance. And they're like, why are you going crazy, kid? What happened to you? Well, I know where they get it. That shouldn't characterize us as Christians. As Christians, we should be gentle. We should have patience. We should have forbearance. We have that. Paul said it. We should do it. So everybody, you got it now, right? Have forbearance. Have gentleness. We're going to know the next verse. And the next verse says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't be anxious. Be thankful. Don't worry. Your life should be characterized by trusting God, realizing He is faithful, relying upon Him in everything, in the midst of every difficulty, going to God and being thankful for what He has provided, and with thanksgiving going to Him and saying, God, I lay it in your hands. And I'm thankful for what you provided. So be anxious for nothing and go to God in prayer with thanksgiving in everything. You got it? So you're fine, right? From now on, you're going to be thankful and reasonable and joyful. Got this covered. And the peace of God, verse 7, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. That wonderful peace we have in Christ. That ability where the Christians, when they were thrown in the Colosseum, when they're put in the lion's den, when they're sitting there, they're singing praise songs. When you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, where they're singing praise songs to God as the beasts are attacking, as they're being killed. They're saying, how do they do that? They have the peace of God. That peace we have when our kids seem to have lost their minds, when our job has changed, when we get that pay cut. That peace that passes all understanding. You have that peace all the time, right? Maybe. When you look at these things, when you're looking at the rejoicing and be anxious for nothing and all these things Paul's listing here and talking about, and then I ask myself, and I don't know, I'm hoping you do, ask myself, I know that's supposed to be part of my life. That should characterize the Christian life. But it sometimes doesn't. I'm still anxious. I still hit bumps where I don't rejoice. I'm not going to God in prayer with thanksgiving. Why? The other day, I like Groupon. Anybody use Groupon ever? Yeah, that little website. Yeah, it's pretty cool. You can buy cheap things sometimes. So I was looking, because sometimes they have meals and different things you can do. And I was looking for something we could do, Bianca and I. And it was funny. I saw this this ad for become a royalty or something. Something like that. Become noble. And you just pay us so much money and you become a noble. And everybody can call you sir or ma'am or lady, something, I don't know, something like that. And you would, I would now be Sir Lee Ballantyne. That's cool, huh? So I thought, wow. So me, doing the wise thing, clicked it. Said, what is this? I looked and I started reading this website. And what they do is they put your name on a list in a database they contain that says you're Sir Lee Ballantyne, and they send you a certificate saying you are now Sir Lee Ballantyne. And you give them money, and I guess you're knighted. No government knights you. The queen doesn't knight you. Whoever this guy, I'm thinking of this teenage kid making all this money coming up with this website. It's like, what does this mean? If you get this piece of paper, what does it mean? It's just a piece of paper, right? It doesn't mean anything. Yeah, that website says you're sir. That doesn't mean anything. Sometimes when I read these things about rejoicing evermore, and when I read Be Anxious for Nothing, and I read the peace of God, I sometimes think, well, I'm a Christian, and I know that should characterize my life, but sometimes it looks like just a piece of paper. It's not changing anything. Is it changing who I am? Do I really have that joy? Do I have that peace? I feel discouraged. The joy of the Lord is sometimes missing. Trials come, and I'm anxious. I don't turn to God in prayer. I forgo the peace of God. And I start blaming the outside circumstances. I go, well, if just this wasn't happening, I would have the joy of the Lord. If this wasn't happening anymore, I would stop being anxious. It would all be okay. And you sit there and you go, if I could just change the circumstance. Or sometimes, very scary, is if we blame God. If God would just get me out of this circumstance. Where is the problem? Is the problem in the circumstance? Problem is not in the circumstance. Is the problem with God? No. God does what is right always. The problem is in me. A lot of us even come to that conclusion, but we don't know what to do about it. And Christians are living defeated lives. They do not know how to react when the failures come. And they don't know how to grow in their Christian walk. We start running around just crazy. It's just bumping into things, thinking, what do we do? I don't want to live in this discouraged state. How do we deal with this? What Paul's talking about in verse 8 will help us gain victory and live more as Christ wants us to live. Help us to grow in our walk so we rejoice more. We have less anxiety because we're casting our cares upon Christ. Look at verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Where does your mind dwell? What do you think about? think about these things. The idea here of think about, it's an imperative, first of all, a command. It's not an option for the Christian. You're commanded to do this. And the idea is a habit of thought. It's changing our internal mind to think differently. We are responsible for how we think. And we need to hold our thoughts to a high ideal. The war is in the mind. We have worldly thinking, and that worldly thinking contradicts with godly thinking. They fight against each other. There's a difference. There should be a difference in how a Christian thinks. If our thinking as a Christian has not changed, we're nowhere. Romans 12, verse 2, which 12, 1 and 2, you've gone through that many times, Romans 12. Listen to verse 2. Yes. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Are we being transformed by the renewing of our mind? The love abounding is a love abounding in true knowledge, a knowledge that changes our thinking. What do we think about? How do we perceive the world? How do we perceive the circumstances we're going through? Our reaction often is, well, if this thing just changes, if this circumstance just changes, this outward thing just changes, then I can live more for God. Where our perspective should be, how can I change my thinking to be more in conformity with the Word of God? How can God renew my mind? Ask yourself this, how much time each day do we spend thinking about the things of God? Just think about it for a second. Okay, I'm awake for 16 hours. How much time do I spend of that day thinking about the things of God? So we say, I need to rejoice more. And when my circumstances are bad, got Paul. Paul's sitting in prison, okay? He's tied to a Roman soldier. And what could he be saying in prison? If I could just fellowship with fellow believers more. If I could just get to church more. If I could just do the ministry God has called me to do. If I could just see my friends more. Then everything would be okay. Is Paul saying that in prison? No. He's saying, rejoice evermore. Rejoice. This is where God has put me now, and I will minister here. His thinking was correct. Thinking was, where God has placed me, I will do what he has me to do. He's sitting there, changes that soldier, and he goes, what do I need to do? I'm going to witness to the soldier. Because he had the correct thinking. If you want the Spirit of God to control your life, if you want the fruits of the Spirit in your life, think about the things of God. We are told here, whatever is true, think about whatever is true. Think about that for a minute. What's true? What is the purpose of your life? To glorify God. To enjoy him forever. Everything we do in life is to bring glory to God. Our heartaches and struggles can even bring glory to God. So, I'm at Starbucks. need a signal. I'm at Starbucks a month ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that. I'm waiting for Bianca, who's at the doctor's office. She calls me, says the doctor says I need penicillin or some type of antibiotic. So that cold that went on forever. So I say, okay, you know, it's almost 6 o'clock. The pharmacy closes at 6. I need to go get it. The storm's going. They've got snow everywhere. And I need to leave Starbucks and go get it as quickly as possible. I say, you just go home. I will get this medicine for you. So I get in the car, and I brush off the car a little bit, but I need to get going because I'm going to miss. I have to drive really slowly up the street to get the pharmacy, and the storm's getting worse. So then I only have a few minutes. So I can't see fantastically. So I'm backing up in my car, and I'm backing up really slow, and I can't see as well as I should. But I don't want to get back out of the car and scrape off everything again. So I'm going real slow. I see people waiting for me. And he said, well, I'm going to turn into this empty parking space and then make my way around. And I'm crawling. And then I hear the crunch. So what did I hit? Did I hit something? Going so slow. What's going on? So I pull back out. I see the car in the other parking space, and back into the parking space I was looking at. So I go, I couldn't have done any damage. So slow. What, did I even hit it? I need to get those pills. What do? Turn off the car, I get out of the car, I look at the car, I don't see any damage. I go, snowing. What is true? What's true is I'm a testimony. I need to do what's right. I'm a Christian. So I should act as a Christian acts. So I walk into Starbucks where everybody knows me and say, does anybody own the BMW? Yay. Nobody owns a BMW. Then one of the guys who knows me says, well, maybe it's in the next building. They go to the next building. Anybody own the BMW? You mean my new BMW? So we go out, and they're looking. They can't find anything either. We see something that may, with the snow, look kind of like a scrape, but I give all my information, and they say, I can't believe you stopped. And I said, well, you know, I was right. If there's anything, you contact me, and this is all, and I'll take care. But we didn't see anything, and they haven't contacted me, so we're good, yay! But you're sitting there, and that's discouraging, right? But what's true? Does it really matter in the long term? How can I bring glory to God in this situation? How can I honor God with what I'm doing in this situation? I am going to spend eternity with God. What's better, to be a testimony to the people I'm talking to or to just drive away? Do the small issues in life change the fact that everything is about glorifying Him? No. My boss has changed this last few weeks at work. And you're looking, and sometimes that's discouraging. Because things change, and I don't like change. I didn't get my full check because someone forgot to put PTO in correctly. But it didn't matter. Why? Because ultimately, how can I be a testimony and how can I glorify God? What's actually important here? What are we thinking about? What is true? What is true? My God will supply every need. according to his riches in glory. Verse 19 of chapter 4. So I can rejoice knowing that anytime things happen that are bad, anytime things happen that can be discouraging, God will supply my needs. God loves me and cares for me. When I look and it says, be anxious for nothing, how many times does a lie about what life is all about cause the anxiety? Do I focus upon the truth of who God is, what he has done for me, what my purpose is in life? How can I glorify him? The truth of reality. If I'm focused on that, if that is my mind, if that is my thinking, and problems come and things come, how do I respond? Do I respond in anxiety and worry? No. I turn to God and I cast my cares upon him. I go to him in thankfulness for the salvation he's given me and the opportunity to glorify him and grow through this trial. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. All things work together for good. We are different as Christians. We should dwell upon the truth. If you want to, Ephesians 5. We won't go there. There's a lot there, too. Go to Ephesians 5. Look at Ephesians 5. Where can we find the truth? One of my favorite verses for a pastor, for what a pastor should do, 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present, Paul is talking to Timothy. He says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Pastor's job is to handle correctly the word of truth. This is the truth. Scripture is true. And God gives us everything we need for life and godliness right here. As a church, we have a strong position on the importance of the word of God. We know, we in our statements, we say this is the truth, and we learn it so we can grow, and in the elders very much and want the sermons to be truth, the truth of God's word. That's a focus. But that does not stop on Sunday morning. And I'm not talking about just your devotions. Because devotions are great, but where does your mind dwell afterwards? It's interesting to me because the printing press wasn't invented till the Middle Ages, the Reformation time period. So in the 1500s, you have all these, the Bible just started being printed and people started getting it. That was amazing. And then it's still expensive and very few were out there and not everybody had it. But eventually you get to the point now where it seems like everybody has a Bible or two inside their house. And the Gideons are giving them away. I can get you a free Bible whenever you want. Just ask. It's amazing. Have you ever thought of the people before the printing press? What did they do? With Calvin, I know he had a sermon every day. In the morning, people would come for devotions under the church, and he'd preach every single day. They meditated upon God's word. So, on Sunday morning, he got the sermon. They took the scripture, and they meditated upon it and made it part of their thinking. How do you think? When you do your devotions, if you just read it, that's good, great, I'm glad. But do you think about it? Does it become part of who you are, part of your thought process? Do Do you dwell upon God's truth every single day, every single moment of the day? The truth about who God is, what life is all about. If you read these beginning things, you say, you know, I want to be rejoicing in my Christian walk. I'm tired of being anxious. I want the peace of God. I want to grow. Start changing your thinking. Start thinking about, start here, truth. That's a challenge this week. Just a little challenge. Capture your thoughts this week. Think, what am I thinking about? I need to think about that situation differently. How would God want me to think about it? What is actually true? It's a challenge for me. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for in any situation, knowing that you are there and you will never leave us, never forsake us, and that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness, and that we can serve you and follow after you. Help us to renew our mind. Help us to be focused upon you and everything we do. In the circumstances that come in life and that are difficult, please give us the strength and grace to turn to you in all things. Bless us this week. In your name, amen.